Time for Tea with Makita is a podcast about redefining self-care. It's about looking at every aspect of our life, from music, career, family, relationships, and everything in between. It's about spilling tea on those conversations that are sometimes hard to have. Well, we're not afraid to have those conversations right here. Join me as we spill tea on every conversation you ever thought about, dreamed about, or whispered about. Hey, y'all, it's definitely time for some tea. Welcome back. It is time for Tea with Makita. First of all, I want to thank you for sharing your time, your space, and your energy with me today. And I just want to share real quick, I have this beautiful quote. I have recently been listening to the amazing Sarah Jake Roberts, and she shared this amazing quote that in the spirit of letting go, and we're talking about this month in this new year about letting go, I read this and it really touched me. It made me hit pause, and I just really wanted to share it with the rest of you. So she says, "You are your why. There is a version of you that you haven't even met yet. That version of you is so powerful. You did not come here to be stagnant." Now, when she said that, what I understood was that there is greatness in all of us. We all have the potential to be whatever version of ourselves that we want. And we haven't even stepped fully into that yet. Sometimes we realize what our purpose is and where we want to go in life, and we start to open up that door, but we tend to still hold on to certain things that kind of pull us back because we haven't yet got to the place where we can trust the process to let go so that we can be that powerful version of ourselves. Because no one came into this world just wanting to do nothing with their life. We all try to strive to be the best version of ourselves and to grow. And then sometimes in that process of growing, you have to get to the point where you decide to let go of something because you can't move forward when you're still looking back. So in keeping with that, I have met one of the most amazing people. We were in the same social, in the same group. And we kind of connected, and I am just honored that, you know, she, you know, took the time out to be here with us today to share, you know, her story. Miss Leah Huxley, she has been doing so many amazing things. She has worked in the beauty industry. She has owned her own skincare business. And is it Durban, South Africa for about 13 and a half years? And she is so passionate about, you know, helping other women like embrace and enhance, you know, not just, you know, the outside beauty, but recognize the inner beauty as well. And she has really come full circle. She's passionate about everything she does. And she loves and respects, you know, everyone. And she really loves helping people to identify and find empowerment in who they are through their transformation with their relationship through themselves. That's an empowerment in itself, just knowing who you are and stepping into that beauty, because you can be beautiful on the outside, but when you recognize that you have so much beauty in the inside as well, it shines throughout the outside. So Leah, thank you so much for being here. I am truly honored to have you as a guest.
Oh, thank you, Makita. Thank you for inviting me and for allowing me into your space and into your platform, and having the opportunity to speak to the people who you support.
Mm-hmm. And in the process, because, you know, I've been talking a lot about letting go, you know, a new year, and through your own journey and transformation, because we can't get to the point of transforming other people without going through our own transformation. And you have had a career in beauty itself is amazing. And when you get to the point where you're helping other women like embrace and enhance who they are, but also understand that there's more than just what people see on the outside. Tell us a little bit about that starting off journey and what it kind of looked like to you.
Well, my personal story has taken many, many twists and turns, as we all do. Mm-hmm. When I did own my skincare business, that was when I was in my 20s. And so I'm now in my mid-50s. And every decade of my life, I've played very different roles. And I sold my skincare business when I became a mom for my long-awaited son, because I had struggled with infertility. And so when I didn't think I'd have the blessing of being a mom. So when I turned 32, I had him, and I sold my skincare business, and we had moved to the UK. And that was with my first husband. And it was, if I look back to myself then, I was in a very different space to what I am now. I was, as we are in our 20s and all the time, but I think it's heightened at that time where we are very, very conscious of our appearance and how we present ourselves into the world, and comparing ourselves to others and not feeling good enough. And throughout mm-hmm. my journey, and fortunately, it's now come to pass as I've hit my 50s, I really, really struggled with acne. So there I was, went into the beauty industry, not feeling good enough to go into that because of the way I looked mm-hmm. and the issues with my skin and how it made me feel. But I really had this passion that's what I wanted to do. And so I had to overcome that. And then, of course, the journey of my skincare business, really hiding this affliction that, you know, really brought my energy down. Because when you're not feeling good enough and you're not accepting yourself, you're putting this barrier really between yourself and others. On the good side, however, though, it opened me up. And I was incredibly compassionate for people who struggled with their skin. And I fully, fully understood the all the emotions and the self-judgment and that went around that, because you're not fitting into what the world thinks you should look like. And especially me as a skincare business owner, I was very yes. paradoxical. So I had this constant inner war really going on with me, of how I felt inside, but how I was projecting something different onto the world. So that was one thing. Then I became a mom, and there's a whole story around that, which I won't go into now. And then in my 40s, I split up with my first husband, and within my 40s became remarried. Still only had my one son, but became a stepmom and everything. But then I wasn't working in the industry anymore, but still massively struggling with my skin and blended families and all the emotions that came up with it. And in that stage of my life, I was giving I didn't realize I was doing it, because I think when we're in it, we don't really realize what's going on. I can see it now that I've stepped out of it, but I was just giving my energy away. I was people pleasing. I was worried about what people thought of me all the time, with this divorce and clients. And bearing in mind, I grew up as a minister's daughter and grew up in the church and all the conditioning that goes around that. And I was so worried about people's judgments of me around that, and infidelity and all sorts of craziness. And then just having my energy not standing up for how I was feeling emotionally, and absorbing the emotions of anger and all that from my new husband and my ex-husband, and these constant emotional triangles going on between relationships. And I was just squashing everything down and just following everybody else's opinions and emotions and putting all their needs ahead of mine. And I just ended up totally depleted. I now know what was happening. I didn't know. I'd lost sight of who I was, lost sight of what I wanted. I'm an empath, as most of us are. And so I was feeling everybody else's energy, but not allowing myself to feel my own. I was, you know, and I was overgiving. I was trying to fix people. I was trying to change people, all not in a manipulative way, but all because I was feeling so uncomfortable in me as to who I was and not happy with how I was handling this whole thing. And so, I hit the pivot point of 50 and I felt myself getting sucked into this vortex of the culture of what happens when you're 50 and what society thinks should and shouldn't happen to you when you turn 50. You know, all these cliches and all this, and I just found myself complaining and resisting this whole thing all the time until one day I kind of, somehow reconnected with my spiritual self, which had always been there, but the connection was very wonky for many decades because of guilt, because of shame, because of all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And so I reconnected with myself and I suddenly thought, no, stop this, you know. Mm-hmm. Stop this complaining, stop this criticizing, stop this comparing. Another one, competing. I wasn't competing with others, but I was competing within myself and not feeling good enough. So I just hit a turning point. I thought, enough, I'm going to stop. And so from there has been my biggest growth of trajectory of growth. Mm-hmm. In learning, let things go, let things go, let things go. And really becoming more and more responsible for who I am and my energy and my thoughts and my feelings and my actions, and not projecting those onto others and not allowing others to project those onto me. Because that's what I always allowed them to do, to project their anger onto me, and I absorbed that, to project their criticism onto me, and I absorbed it. So I've learned, you know, to let those things go and start reclaiming me.
Yes.
You know, the most important relationship we have is with ourselves. It's the greatest love story that we'll ever have is the one we have with ourselves. And it's the longest relationship we will ever have is the one we have with ourselves. And we take ourselves with ourselves wherever we go.
I love that. I love that you said that. Cause you know what I was, when you said that we have the longest relationship you're going to have is with yourself, because you come into this world with yourself, with your thoughts, with your feelings, and you leave with those things too. But when you talk about letting go of what other people say and think, I would have to say for me, my when I was about to turn 30 on my 30th, well, actually on my 30th birthday, I'm more than 30 now, I'm in my 40s, but 30 was that pivotal point for me when I was like, I'm 30. And I felt so judgmental. I was so worried about what other people thought I should be in my life. And all these expectations that I had for myself that I didn't feel like I was living up to. And it is really hard. As much as we say, sometimes we don't care what other people think about us and forget that. And, you know, secretly sometimes until you really got to that point where you're actually truly letting that part go, you still hold on to maybe not everybody, but, you know, you have these certain people in your life when they, like you say, project that criticism or project that anger or whatever feelings that they have onto you, you may not consciously realize that you're letting those emotions and their feelings manipulate your true feelings, because I didn't really have I had expectations for myself, but not to the point where I was critical. But when I got 30 and I had friends and they were like, oh, you know, 30, like they had this thing like 30, you should be here and you should do that. And I was like, I am not in none of those places. Like, you know, so when you said you got to that point, and each, it seems like with each, from your 20s, you transformed into your 40s and then your 50s, you learned something so valuable about yourself to get to your point of you had to let go of something at each of those pivotal points in your life that truly made that transformation for you.
Yeah, one of the biggest pivotal points, I think the biggest pivotal points have come really in my 50s. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones that I heard somebody say, I listen to a lot of inspirational platforms, was like, you know, and if I translate it into the first person, it goes to, I say it to myself, I am not responsible. I'm not emotionally responsible for anybody but myself.
Yes.
So when you can take that concept and you can apply it in every single, because we all play different roles. We are daughters, we are mothers, we are stepmothers, mm-hmm. possibly, we are friends, we've got so many different roles that we play. But I think that the one of the biggest challenges that I found in that arena was to do with my son. And he went through severe mental health crises. Whilst I was in my 50s, he had two psychotic episodes, and the whole thing around that, and wanting to save him and rescue him, and just, you know, all the things that you as a mom, because you want the best for your children, you want the best for everybody, but you really, when it comes to your children, it's another level.
It is.
But I really had to step back and I came to learn that I'm not emotionally responsible for him. I can support him. I can guide him. I can encourage him, but I cannot fix him. I cannot change him. He is on his own journey, and I have to respect that. I can walk alongside with him. I can carry him when he needs carrying, as in when he's physically or emotionally exhausted, but he is on his own journey. And he's chosen me as his mum, and I've chosen him as my son. And it's our relationships that always bring up, well, definitely in my experience, our biggest lessons are the people who come into our life.
And letting go of that, because that is so hard for like a parent, any parent, understanding that we are not just emotionally responsible for, you know, other people, but when it comes to our kids, like we can be there for them as much as we want. And we can, you know, like you said, walk with them on their journey. And sometimes we can only walk so far on that journey with them. You know, sometimes they're going to have to walk some of that journey by themselves, because it is.
They don't want us to walk with them. And that's another.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But it's hard as a parent, because you really want to you don't want to have them, you know, go through that. So especially when you're like, but I can see that you can do this, and you have it figured out for them. But the truth is, like, they got to figure it out. And in letting go of not trying to control their outcome of their journey for them.
It's a very interesting journey.
Yeah, it's emotional for yourself too, because you're watching it, like you're in it. Sometimes it's hard to get perspective. But as you said before, when you come back to that spiritual connection to yourself, and, you know, for anyone that's listening, you know, regardless of, you know, whatever your faith is or religious beliefs is, a spiritual connection to yourself is really just knowing who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what you need from yourself and from others. So when you start saying, okay, I can only take this so much of this, like emotional wise, when people start pouring on emotions onto you. It's like, okay, let me step back because this is not the type of energy I want. And I know this will be very draining for me. So it's not that I'm trying to, completely. Sometimes you have to separate from some people, you know, you have to, in that space of protecting your own energy, because you can only give from so much before you become so depleted that you have nothing left to give, even when it comes to the people that we love and cherish the most. You have to be willing to let go and step back and reconnect with yourself and figure out what it is that you need so you can keep showing up every day.
Yeah, it's definitely, when I was in my 40s and the start of my 50s, well, in fact, my whole life up until then, because it was modeled to be, it was modeled to me by my mom, she gave from an empty cup. And I thought that's what you did as a woman. I thought that's what was expected of you. Not realizing that I was doing that, of course. This isn't, hindsight is a wonderful thing. But I grew up my dad went into the ministry when I was 9. I'm a very late child. I'm the last of 4. My brothers and sisters never had that experience of being a minister's daughter. But I watched my mom and, she gave her whole life. She gave everything of herself away for my dad, the sacrifices she made for my dad. And, the whole time being a minister's wife and being at the beck and call of my dad and the congregation and just giving, giving, giving. She never, ever filled her cup up. Fortunately, she had her faith, which helped. Mm-hmm. But she sadly passed away from Parkinson's disease, and she suffered with that for the last 13 years of her life. And if I reflect on that, I might not be totally correct, but I can see it because she just gave everything of herself away. She gave from an empty cup her whole life, and she just couldn't do it anymore. And so, it was her way of saying, can somebody else please take care of me, because I can't do this anymore. So it's so, so, so important that we give from our full cup,
mm-hmm.
the overflow of the cup, from that yes. constant fountain, which is our spiritual connection, our daily practices, how we care for ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That's all ways that we keep our cup full. And then we can give from that without depleting ourselves. And then it's a joy to give, because we don't feel like we're being drained and we don't feel like we have to protect our energy all the time because we're so exhausted. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
that is true. And when you're in a transformational period in your life, like you help women transform their lives all the time. When you're in that process with them, what is the most hardest thing you notice that most people, or when you're doing that process, what's the hardest part for them that you feel as they go into that transformation to really like reach that point of, okay, I really have a handle on this and I know I can move forward in the process?
I think one of the biggest roadblocks is the fear of letting go.
Mm.
The fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. That is, I think that's great, because you know what? I was just thinking when you said the fear of letting go in the unknown, because when you are, even though you know you have a mess going on, like you know your mess though, you know what it is. Thanks. You've been in the mess for a while. So it's a comfortable mess sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when you have to let go of the mess and step into something different, it's like, I don't know this. What if I mess it up? Or what if, I'm not good. And, you have all these thoughts of, what ifs versus the, okay, it can't be any worse than this mess I already got. So it has to be something better on the other side. People never really say that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage. Yeah, the analogy of letting go, if you think of your, on in the physical space, if you think of your hand and you're gripping this pencil, and you're gripping it tight and tight and tight, I mean, what happens? You just carry on hurting. Your hand eventually goes numb. All this resistance that's going on. And what does it take to let go? It just takes you opening your hand. It's hard to explain. It's just the letting go. And then you kind of look back and you think, well, that wasn't that difficult, was it, to let go of the pencil? It's like,
no.
That fear, because we're so conditioned to be in control of everything, and we want to control the outcome, and we want to do this, and we want to know, we want to control people, not in a nasty way, but, you know, we like, it's a comfortable space for us to control. And yeah, letting go is uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar. But the more you let go, the more that becomes familiar.
Mm-hmm. And the more you become familiar, and
you become comfortable with the uncomfortable feelings.
Yes. And you start to love yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And compassion is the key. Yes. Compassion is the highest form of love. Compassion for ourselves and compassion for others. But it's a catalyst. So, you know, when we can apply that compassion to ourselves that we're afraid to let go, when we can apply compassion to ourselves for our mess and our messy journeys.
Yes, yes.
We are.
They do. And I don't think for me, I know I wouldn't change anything within my journey or my mess, because I wouldn't be who I am without all of the mess.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the journey had to happen. And I feel like we're all on this never ending journey, because you grow each and every day from something that makes you better. That makes you, because I feel like you're stepping partly in your purpose of who you are. And as you continue to go, there are going to be things that happen. That you're going to be like, oh my goodness, I know I probably knew better, but I don't, you know, but it's okay, because you're not made to be perfect. You are made to be just who you are, and to love that person the same way like we love our kids and, you know, our spouses. We don't expect our kids to be perfect. No. And we don't not love them because they're not. It's like, okay. But we sometimes hold ourselves to these high standards of perfection and not realize that you can love yourself and be compassionate and not think that you have to be so perfect or do everything right all the time.
Yeah. And also the other, one of the other aspects of letting go is forgiveness of ourselves. You know, forgiveness is a huge thing, and we know how difficult it is to forgive people who have hurt us. But at the same time, I remember I came across a great analogy, and you probably have heard it, about unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but I like it.
If you think of it, you're recreating these stories in your head the whole time about the offense that this person has committed towards you, that you feel. Sometimes they're not even aware they've done it, you know, and you create this whole story in your head, and you give you know, another nice quote is, it's the meaning we give things that makes us suffer. So there can be an event. And the other event, say in a relationship, the other person might even not, they're not even aware of the event, but it's the whole meaning that we've given around that event that is the start of our suffering. And then we recreate the suffering over and over and over again when we get stuck in our heads with the story. And every time we tell the story to somebody else, we're recreating those stress hormones the whole time. And we're slowly poisoning ourselves, really, by holding that unforgiveness in us. So, you know, so it's difficult to do that. But it, once you realize it's about you setting yourself free, that's what forgiveness, when you forgive somebody else, you are setting yourself free.
I love the what you said about the meaning that we give certain events, because I can tell you, I have given certain events a lot of meaning. And later on, when you, I mean, I've had things that happened where I encountered someone that I thought, you know, I was like, well, this happened and, you know, I don't talk to this person. And you see this person maybe months or years later and they've moved on. They're not even thinking about it. It didn't mean anything to them. And you've been carrying it around for years or months about something that no longer affects anyone but you. It's your stressor. You've created this holy, like you said, you tell different people and you make it, and it grows and grows and grows with each story that you tell it with. But the person that's involved also in the story has moved on. Their life has not been affected. And you're just stagnant, staying in that event instead of accepting that it doesn't define you and moving yourself past it. So,
yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, that's one level is forgiving others. That's hard enough. I think even harder the one is forgiving ourselves. For the messes and mistakes we've made. But then there's another quote that I like is, if you knew better, you would do better.
Yes.
But at that time that you made that mistake, you were, or perceived mistake, you were doing the best you knew how. Self-forgiveness is huge.
Yeah, because we don't, there's no blueprint no one gives you on life. You know, we all come into this world and we do the best that we can until, like you say, until you know better. And once you know better, you start to do better. But yeah, there's no true blueprint that says you have to do it this way. So no, in the process of living,
we're unique.
Yeah. Yes.
What's do better for me is not do better for you, and vice versa. We're unique people.
Yes. You know? There's a commercial, and it's so funny because it's an actual a diaper commercial. I think it's Huggies, and it was like, oh my gosh, what did it say? It was like, you live and you learn. You live and you learn. I think it goes on to say, then you get Huggies, but you know, it's so true, that one part. You live and you learn.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you my do mom better. Used to be that, oh, you live and you learn. Yeah. Yeah, it's just part of the process. And you, with each stage in your life, you know, my 20s were more carefree and I didn't know who I was. My 30s, I had a glimpse in who I could be, but I was still holding on to the past of my teenage years and my 20s. And I was so stagnant in those beliefs that it took me to my 40s to realize that I may be made up of all of these things, but none of those things truly define me as a person, that I'm bigger than any mistake that I perceived or any event that or trauma that may have happened. Yeah. They've all helped to create me, but they don't define me. And in letting go of all of that, it's like,
Yeah, for sure. And also that part that I spoke earlier of projections, when you realize that I'm just thinking of like a conflict situation in maybe a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it goes a bit out of hand. And I'm not talking about abuse, and that's a whole different category and trauma. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about in daily, you know, conflicts with your husband or whatever. And the response, I mean, I had one the other day with my husband, and I thought, where on earth has this come from? What a word. It's like, but I know now it's come from his wounded inner child.
Mm-hmm.
When we get triggered, it's our wounded inner child that we haven't forgiven and given compassionate and shown compassionate to and just given them what they need. It's that. And it was the underlying belief was he was feeling something I'd said it triggered something that he felt not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
There was his wounded inner child. And I can see that now, mm-hmm. you know, when people act out and play out, it's their wounded inner child.
Yeah. That is so true.
Coming out and then coming into the relationship. So, yeah, when you get to understand yourself, you can get, and when you can love and accept yourself for who you are and where you at, you can then love and accept others for who they are and where they're at, and not judge. Judgment is just, yeah, dangerous.
It is. It is. And then we get into the comparing, and then it goes on and on. It goes on and on. It's so easy. So tell me one thing that you do consistently to give back to yourself as part of your self-care and how you have redefined it just for based on your needs and what works for you.
I think if we break it down sort of to the four pillars of self-care, which is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. So if on the physical level, I do exercise every day. Obviously, I haven't because of COVID and I haven't been allowed out the house. But,
yeah. Yes.
And exercise, I mean, I personally go to gym and I participate in gym classes, a whole variety of different ones, but within balance. I just do one class, which is an hour workout, whether it be yoga, whether it be cardio, strength, or whatever. So that is part of my, it's almost my morning routine is my world.
Mm-hmm.
And then my afternoon routine is my outer world of chores or doing clients or, you know, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. that's on the physical sense. On the emotional sense, self-care, yeah, really allowing myself, and this is an ongoing process. For me, the physical part comes quite naturally. But the emotional part is allowing myself to feel my emotions.
Mm.
And I've come to understand, and it's hard to practice at the time, but if you just allow an emotion 90 seconds, if you even went to put on 90, an uncomfortable emotion that comes up and you don't know what to do with it, if you just put your timer on for 90 seconds, it will pass through your body. It'll pass. It's like a cloud in the sky. So not squashing my emotions down, which I've done all my life. I somehow had this strange concept as a child and maybe came up as because I was a minister's daughter that I wasn't allowed to ever be angry about anything. That was a belief I had created.
Yeah,
allowing myself to feel uncomfortable, triggered emotions that come up and allowing them to pass and respecting them. And, you know, emotions are energy in motion. They need to flow out. It's like water. It has to. to flow. If you block it, if you take a hose pipe and block it, what's going to happen? Your pipe's going to burst.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll pass all those unprocessed emotions onto somebody else. So, yeah, just being very mindful about my emotional well-being. Mental, yeah, really watching your thoughts, not criticizing your thoughts, but being mindful of what you're thinking. And because our thoughts create things, you know?
Yes.
So being aware of what you're thinking. And because if you're thinking unconscious things, those unconscious things will come out of your mouth, and that can be quite hurtful. So just conscious of what, be really conscious of your language, of how you speak to yourself and to others. Just mental hygiene and being aware of your thoughts. I have different ways of kind of, if I feel myself getting sucked into something, then to shift my focus and listen to something inspirational or upbeat, or, you know, mentally shift my focus, keeping my vibration high, as high as I can. And then a spiritual connection, I have a meditation practice that I do. And so that's like a defined thing, first thing in the morning before my day starts. And it doesn't look one set way. It looks all sorts of different ways. I listen to mainly audio meditations of various genres. And that just sets my tone for my day. And then, so I do that early in the morning, and then it's almost like a vibrational reset of the day. And then I move into my day with my physical, and then the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual is an ongoing thing really throughout the day. But, and then also just really gratitude for who I am, what I have, and who I'm becoming.
Yes.
A new phrase that I've picked up, and I thought, I like that. So every morning. And also blessing the day. One of my morning practices is I like to say, I bless this day with love and light. I bless this day with faith and sight. I bless this day with grace and ease. I bless this day with joy and peace. I bless myself, and I bless everything around me. Thank you for the gift of this day. And may I be a gift in this day.
I love that. That's really a great way to set out and set your intentions for how you want that day and how you want to show up.
Yeah. Because I where I am at now in my life, my heart's desire is to share my light, or shine, how does it go now? I forget. To shine my light, to share my love, and to take actions from my heart.
Yes.
Because that's the seat of our soul, not from my head.
That is true. Well, yeah. Leah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of that with us. Tell my listeners where they can connect with you.
Probably the easiest way is just on Facebook. I don't have a business page at all, but I post regularly inspirational quotes and reflective quotes on Facebook and Instagram. So Facebook, I always forget what I am. It's Lee Huxley.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's just your name, Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Huxley, H-U-X-L-E-Y. Yeah, and I'm going to plug that into the show notes. And I think it's so wonderful that you do that. You know, anyone that's listening, if you want to be, you know, motivated and have some inspiration.
Yeah, just direct message me. Yeah, it just comes up as lee.huxley.7. That's I'll forward the link to you. And then the same thing on Instagram, but it's reversed somehow. I've only started doing all this year. I'm not very savvy when it comes to social media and things like that. But Instagram, it's Huxley Lee, all one word, lowercase. But I basically, it's a replication. I kind of elaborate on my posts a bit more in Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I love inspirational quotes, as you've heard me sort of use a few. And encouragement and things that touch my heart, or sometimes a little bit about challenges that I'm experiencing, how I'm navigating them, because that's mm-hmm. what it's about. Life's about navigating. And we've got everything inside us to navigate. And if we navigate from our hearts, mm-hmm. we will follow our authentic true natures.
That is true. That is so true. Well, thank you so much, you guys that are listening. I will have that information in the show notes for you. Leah, thank you so much for just coming on and just sharing, you know, your authentic self with us. And you're right, it's all about navigating, you know, your emotions and seeing sometimes someone else, and you realize you're not alone in the process of letting go and being who you are. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for your time and for the wonderful work you're doing in the world and shining your light and sharing your love.
Thank you. Wow, what a beautiful conversation with an amazing person. One of the biggest takeaways from this conversation for me was that in life, we all have setbacks. I could really connect to some of the struggles and challenges that Leah has faced and yet overcome. I feel like it's so easy sometimes to hear other people's accomplishments, and we rarely think about the struggle and everything they went through to get to where they're at. Because unfortunately in life, nothing is like neatly handed to us. We work for everything that we have. And I know sometimes it seems like other people get a more neatly wrapped package, but we all have some challenges that we still have to face in life. So I love that Leah was able to take us on that journey and share with us, you know, that she's been through some things that we've all been through. And yet, when you think about this and everything that you go through in your life, there's so much more to be grateful for. You know, I look at my life sometimes and I realize without the struggle, without the setbacks, without the challenges, I would have never grown into the person that I am today. So I'm always thankful and grateful, even in the midst of the struggle and the challenges. So if you want to connect with Leah, or if you want to leave your comments, please do. I would love to hear you guys, some of your takeaways and some of the things that you connected to the most. And remember, you can always email me at timefortmakita@gmail.com. And you can also find all Leah's contact information in the show notes. Until next time, continue to stay healthy and happy. That was definitely some hot tea. Don't forget to join me next week as we spill some more delicious tea. Until next time, namaste.